The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Did you guys miss us? Happy Wednesday. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. I know it was kind of weird to not hear our amazing selves yesterday. but yes, it was the holiday, Prince Kuhio Day, but also full transparency. Our Paul Brecht here, I'm happy that he has made it this morning and he can somewhat speak, but he had to go get his wisdoms removed on Monday, so got to give like a good, at least more than 24 hours to relax the talking and whatnot as he continues to heal from getting all four wisdom teeth removed. I am someone who has most of them. I only have one removed, and that was already a journey as itself years and years and years ago, but I can't imagine having to get all four of them. I know there's people listening that have done it before as well, but I mean, hey, you look pretty good this morning.
I am not as chipmunked as I thought I was going to be. Yeah. I also wasn't yesterday or immediately after the surgery. I think I sent you and Michael a couple of photos immediately after. I don't remember sending them, but they're certainly there in our group chat. But yeah, overall feeling pretty good. Very thankful to the people who did the operation. Is that what I call it, I guess?
Because like we were kind of discussing right before we hopped on, like since your wisdom teeth are, you had it where it was under your gums, it's pretty much an operation because they have to cut it open. Like my one was, or all four of mine are actually growing out straight and like they're fine.
Lucky you.
It's just one had gotten infected. So that's why my dentist could just pull it out like a regular extraction, but I know if it's underneath, they gotta.
Yeah. Ooh. They did their whole dance and whatnot on my mouth, and now I'm stretching out as much as I can so that I can still talk to you beautiful people. I still was able to make it out to media availability yesterday, yes. So we'll be able to hear from the rest of the week a bunch of UH athletes, and life is still pretty good despite being on a soft food diet right now.
It's okay. You'll lose like 5 pounds or something.
No.
But yes, good to have you back. Good to be here with you guys again. It was a really weird and rare weekday off. As you guys know, we kind of pretty much are wanting to be here and talk to you guys all the time. As long as it's a weekday and not a major, major family type of holiday, we are here because we love doing this so much. All right. As we mentioned, Manawahine Wednesday. And today we will talk story with Jordan Wedderburn, the utility player from the women's water polo program at UH. She just received Big West honors last week after her hat trick against USC, where they have beaten the Trojans twice this season after not beating them for 27 times. So this Rainbow Wahine team looking pretty good. So we'll hear from Jordan coming up a little later on the show. And it's pretty cool because she's a South African native and they have such a good accent. It's like a nice,
fair,
pleasant accent, and it's so fun to chat with her. So be sure you guys stick around for that. Other than that, like today, it feels almost like this weird, I think also with everything affecting Shohei Ohtani and that situation, and then now you have a similar situation in the NBA. It's like today feels really weird. It's like a calm before the storm because the Shohei thing, you know, started happening last week, and then the Jontay Porter thing started happening. But then also, you still have the wide world of sports going on. So, and tomorrow is like a huge day. You have opening day, and you have the Sweet 16 getting started in NCAA March Madness. So there's two major, like all day long of major games going on. And today it's just kind of like, we're just kind of relaxing. Still, there's still the discussion to be had about Shohei Ohtani for those of you guys that missed it, because, you know, you only love to listen to our show and no other sports show. I was just going to say
correct.
That. So they missed it because we didn't really get to talk about it yesterday. So the Shohei Ohtani did address the media and was very adamant through his current interpreter about not gambling at all, not knowing anything about it, that eBay completely stole the money because he had access to his bank accounts and was able to wire the money through Shohei's accounts without Shohei Ohtani having any idea of what was going on.
So, one, I've seen plenty of financial people say that that's completely possible. So, yeah. I'm willing to trust the people who actually know what they're talking about when it comes to seeing transfers that large and blah, 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 blah. I heard through the grapevine yesterday that the new translator for the Dodgers is actually a Hawaii guy. He's a MidPac alum.
Really?
I believe so. I did not check to make sure. We'll have to check in the break or upcoming, but I'm pretty sure that was what the word going around yesterday was at baseball media availability. So
did Rob DeMello say it?
Is either Rob, Steven, one of the.
No. Well, okay. If it's Rob or Steven, then I would say it's 100%
factual. I have to go look it up now.
Because I'm like, he's like, I know like DeMello very much is in the know with all kinds of stuff, and he wouldn't say any type of fake news whatsoever. And just like Steven. So I'm like, all right, well, if it came from any of those two guys, then I'm willing to 100% believe that that's true, which would be really fascinating, actually. One thing, speaking of that interpreter, that a lot of people pointed out during the press conference when Shohei Ohtani was addressing the media, obviously in Japanese, and his interpreter was sitting right next to him, people noticed that the interpreter was writing down things while Shohei was speaking so that when he, you know, translated, he would be looking at his paper saying what we could assume was word as close to word for word as possible, where that's not something that you see even with just interpreters in general, but it was a good look at least to do that considering everything that happened. There were also, you know, things said during, you know, all the more rumors that surfaced that it never really felt like Ipe was saying everything or being straight up with Shohei to the English speaking community, and the Dodgers even threw Ipe under the bus some more and saying that they always felt like there was like never a direct line of contact to Shohei Ohtani. And so now Ipe's gone and they feel like there's more transparency to their superstar player, albeit he's only been there for a little while. And I'm sure the situation was much different in
paying $700 million. I'd want that transparency from day one.
So I thought that was kind of the interesting tidbit that I saw and was reading about how Ipe, and it was never a good look with Ipe. There's other stuff that came up on his Angels profile bio, said that he graduated from UC Riverside. Apparently officials from UC Riverside don't have any record of him even attending the school, because we've seen it quite often where, all right, maybe you didn't graduate, but at least you attended, and maybe you're a few credits short, and you're going to, we see that all the time, and people still go on to be very, very successful. But to have no record of him even attending the university is a little sus. And by a little, I mean a lot. Like, you have to, like, why would you even think to put that anywhere or say that if you didn't even attend the school for, not only attend, but a significant amount of time at least?
It is a good reminder to kids not to lie on your resume. Yeah. And if you are going to lie, at least make it like a semi-believable lie that you can pass it off.
Or there's record of it
at least. Right, like you can pass it off. Not one that takes one simple check and it's like, oh, this is completely off. By the way, I did just check Will Ireton, or I hope I said his last name correctly, is the new interpreter for the Dodgers. He was born in Tokyo, grew up in Hawaii as a teenager. I'm still working to find out where he graduated from. Still pretty sure it's MidPac, and ended up going to a couple of colleges on the mainland, Menlo. Represented,
as long as it's not Punahou.
Was not a Punahou boy, pretty sure. and also represented the Philippines in the 2012 Baseball World Classic. So.
He's a Filipino.
So I knew as I continue to read on him, I'm like, oh, Ku's gonna love this guy.
We got to get him on the show now.
Literally.
I'm like, woo, that's pretty cool. Although I feel like if that's the case, Rob DeMello will grab him first, but it's okay.
I don't know. Does Rob want anything to do with Shohei anymore?
Yeah, he's still the big story. Rob is still very much a baseball guy.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to have to ask him. But yes, for those that don't know, Rob DeMello is a huge LA Angels fan. So that's why Paul said that. So maybe not, but because he is on the Dodgers. It is our Alan Mia in studio has been joking about it for like the last 5 days about like, At least it's not, it's happened after he was on the Angels. Well, technically all of this stuff was going on when he was on the Angels, but
not
it's
a
not
problem
the Angels'
anymore.
Problem. And it's the Dodgers' problem.
See, I'm diving into this whole rabbit hole. This guy is Will Ireton, known as Will the Thrill across organizational circles, having
not.
Developed a penchant for dancing across the dugout to motivate players. He interned for the Padres and, or pardon me, for the Rangers and the Yankees before his Dodgers days. Has been with the organization since 2016, worked with Kenta Mendia. Or Kenta Maeda.
Oh, I was
my
like,
goodness.
Maeda. It took me a second. I was
that's
like, wait,
a movie.
Maeda.
It's a movie. Sorry. But no, I'm as I'm learning about more and more about this guy, we're going to have to
I'm
effort
like,
getting him on the show.
His vibe just matches the
well,
show.
That's kind of what I mean.
He likes to dance across the dugout. We like to dance across anything.
Will the Thrill. He's from, well, kind of from Hawaii. I mean, bring him on in.
Wow.
The more you know.
That's pretty cool. Anywho, that's now it's opening day, like right around the corner, a.k.a. tomorrow morning. And you can listen to the Seattle Mariners games tomorrow throughout the weekend as we are the new home of the Seattle Mariners. And in case you missed our announcement, we didn't move on from the Angels because of Shohei Ohtani leaving. It was basically because the Angels themselves just
they moved on from radio.
They stopped doing radio. Everything is digital, so therefore we had to find a new team. So we went with another West Coast team that is very popular here in Hawaii. So I hope a lot of fans are excited. I was just at Food Lion yesterday and saw a gentleman wearing a Mariners t-shirt. So hey, there you go. It's gonna all stick out to me like much sooner. And I know everybody, including myself, big Ken Griffey Jr. and Ichiro fan. So a lot of those people have remained Seattle Mariners fans. So I'm looking for them. They're on the way up. So
Trident's up, baby. No, really excited.
Bring back CS Rise.
Please bring back CS Rise. Really excited about bringing the Mariners onto this station. A fun little story from when I first moved out here to Hawaii with my friend from college. We're both very big baseball fans. I'm a Yankees fan. He's a Guardians fan. And we're both like, well, we need a West Coast team because obviously the time difference between the East Coast and Hawaii is 6 hours. So we're like, oh, we need a West Coast team. So ever since I moved out to Hawaii, I have referred to the Mariners as our Mariners or my Mariners. So it was just funny to see it all come full circle and now see us rise, Trident's up, and get to watch or listen, I guess, to Julio and the guys potentially go pretty far. It's a really fun franchise that's starting to build up quickly again after 20 years or so out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Shout out to Star Advertisers Billy Hull, who's like a big Mariners fan. I know the Mariners are Kyle's second team. He's a big Braves fan, but because he was born in Seattle, he's a cheers for a lot of the Seattle teams. But it's going to be a fun time. All right, going to step aside. We will actually continue more of our like fun baseball banter. There was a very interesting write up on The Athletic about just, you know, Paul and I are kind of statistical nerds and like fun facts. So this is one that was interesting because it's 25 numbers that define baseball and set the stage for this season. So we will talk about this in a couple segments from now. But when we come back, we will chat with University of Hawaii water polo utility player Jordan Wedderburn next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. Well, you guys know it's Manawahine Wednesday, and I'm excited to chat about a sport that has been very successful at the University of Hawaii recently, but we don't hear too much about them, but want to chat with one of their top players, Jordan Wedderburn, the utility player from the University of Hawaii women's water polo team. Jordan, thank you so much for making the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and we're excited to get to know a little bit more about you. So just take us back a little bit. Your hometown, you're originally from Johannesburg, South Africa. So tell us a little bit about growing up there.
I love South Africa. Like, I think it's one of the most beautiful countries ever. Like, everyone always asks me, what's it like there, you know? And yeah, I love it there. It'll always be home, but Hawaii's become my second home, obviously. So I love it here too. Growing up there, I guess water polo wasn't really a big sport, so I never really knew what it was until I moved high schools, and my new high school that I went to offered water polo, and I kind of wanted to try it. And yeah, the rest is history. Kind of just went from there.
Oh, wow. So I guess in terms of, when athletes kind of start, especially Division I collegiate athletes, you started your sport relatively late.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a little bit late. Like I think I was 13 or 14, but yeah, I guess it's growing now. Like a lot of people are starting a lot younger, but for me, when I started, a lot of people were also starting. So it wasn't like I was the only one, you know?
And what was it exactly about the sport of water polo that really drew you to love it?
Well, at first I was like, I did swimming and I did netball at home, which is kind of like basketball, for those that don't know. But I was kind of just like, oh, well, it seems like it's both of them put together and I'm kind of average at both of them, so I'll try it out. And I actually hated it. Like my first practice, I hated it. Didn't want to go back, but my parents were like, no, just give it a week. And then I went for the first week of practice, which was like the worst week of practice ever because it was just conditioning and stuff. And then I didn't want to carry on. I actually said to my parents, like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to go back. And they were like, well, you've committed now, so you have to do it for the whole like season. And then after that, like, I made friends and it was more actually to stay with my friends that I kept on doing it. And then I obviously started enjoying it as I got better and kind of learned the rules of the game and how to play. But yeah.
Did your parents play any sports?
My mom will tell you that she played water polo, but she actually didn't like she I think they just threw a ball around in the pool and kind of said that they played water polo. And then my dad played tennis in high school, but other than that, not really.
And then your bio says you have one sibling, so can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, I have a little sister, Darren. Well, she's not little anymore, she's 18. She also plays water polo, but she's studying at the University of Stellenbosch. She just started her first semester there. And yeah, we used to fight a lot when we were younger, but we a little bit closer now.
I think that's consistent with like every pair of siblings, especially sisters, because I have a best friend who's the same way, and now her and her sister are close, so it
Yeah, it's just the clothes, the stealing of clothes. That's
happens.
what causes the fights.
And we're hanging out with Jordan Wedderburn from the University of Hawaii women's water polo team. All right, so all the way from South Africa, what drew you to come and play in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at the University of Hawaii?
Well, our school system at home is a little different. So we graduate from high school in December. So I finished my grade, like my, I guess, junior year of high school. And I was like, oh, I still have one more year. I'm not really sure what I want to do for university. Like it was either stay at home or come to the States. Obviously at home, there isn't really like a big water polo, like system going on after you finish school. So if I wanted to carry on water polo, I was definitely going to come to the States. But I actually wasn't sure if I wanted to keep playing or if I wanted to just like chill out and focus on studying and stuff. And then COVID happened in March of my senior year of high school. So everything went online and South Africa had a really bad lockdown. We were pretty much like in our house for 3 months and I really missed water polo. I didn't think I was going to miss it as much as I did. And I just missed like the environment and being with my friends and like training and all of that sort of stuff. So, I decided after lockdown had ended that I wanted to play and I wanted to come to the States. So I actually kind of messaged a couple coaches, but Hawaii was always at the back of my mind because it's actually a funny story. I'd met one of my teammates now, Bernadette Doyle, at World Champs in 2019. And I heard that she played at the University of Hawaii and I was like, wow, that's so cool. And it was just always in the back of my mind. And then, yeah, I reached out to Mo. We kind of chatted a little bit. And then, yeah, the rest is history. Like, they offered me a spot on the team. And I was like, okay, well, it's Hawaii. Why would I say no, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome to just find yourself there, not only here at the University of Hawaii, but just like you said, just discovering the sport of water polo and ended up falling in love with it. And yeah, now you're all the way over here. That's pretty awesome.
My mom is like, you really chose the furthest place away from home that you could have chosen.
What do you miss the most about home?
Definitely like the people, like my family, my friends, you know, obviously it's your support system. Mm-hmm. So that was a big change. I always say like, if I could take Hawaii like here and just put it in South Africa with all my friends and family and stuff, then I would be like so happy. Also the food at home, I feel like there's a lot, like the food is just so much better at home.
Yeah, I get it. Different countries have like their certain foods. And I know people in Hawaii feel like the food in Hawaii is better than anywhere else in the United States too. So
I mean, I would agree with that, to be fair.
What is maybe like a signature type of dish that there is in South Africa that maybe we haven't heard of and you could teach us about?
I mean, it depends what, like, where you're from, like, where your family is from or whatever. But I would say a lot of people do, it's called a braai, but it's kind of like a barbecue. And it's like meat and salads and breads and stuff that you do on the barbecue. And it's just like a big family thing. Like, everyone eats and, like, brings stuff to braai. And then, yeah, it's like a social thing more than anything. But yeah, I think the meat at home is much better than the meat. Yeah.
I get it. And we're joined by Jordan Wedderburn from the University of Hawaii Women's Water Polo Team. Now, you're listed as a utility player. Excuse me. What exactly does that entail?
Well, for those that don't really understand or have never watched a game of water polo, there's a couple of different positions. So there's a center, a defender, and then there's obviously the left side attackers and the right side attackers, and then you have your goalie. And you can live sub in the, like, after a goal scored, like, as many times as you want. So people are in and out of the pool all the time. And I guess utility kind of means that I can play all over, like I can play left, right, okay, in the center. So yeah, this season I've been playing a lot of center because we obviously have beer, and then I'm the second string center at the moment. So yeah, I guess it just means that I can play wherever.
Okay, that's cool. Do you have a spot that you would be like your favorite?
I think if you had asked me that a year ago, I would have said 1-2 side, so the left side attacker. But now I actually kind of like the center. I don't know. It's fun. Yeah.
And you were actually recently named Big West Women's Water Polo Player of the Week last week. Earned that honor partly because of your third hat trick of the season in the second win over USC this year. You guys snapped a 27-game losing streak in the series against USC back in February and then beat them for that second time. So what can you tell us about not only getting that first win, but also being able to do it again?
Oh, it was insane. I think we just really got the ball rolling really well in the beginning of the season. Obviously with a couple big wins against Stanford, USC, and some close games against UCLA as well. And it's just really getting that confidence that you do belong up there with the best teams, you know? And yeah, I mean, the first win against USC was like insane. Everyone was just so happy. Yeah. And yeah, just to do it again kind of just solidified to us that we do have a real good chance of going pretty far this season, and we are in reach of our goals, you know, and we just need to keep working hard and pushing hard, and hopefully everything will work out for us. Was cool.
Yeah, and I saw like videos of the crowd, especially of that second game. It was full house. That was so awesome.
Insane. Like, we can't thank the fans enough. Like, the Duke has been packed for all of our home games. It's been crazy, like, awesome stuff. Yeah. My parents are actually here they came for a couple weeks, actually. And they watched the USC game and they said it was crazy. They were like, it was nothing like they've ever experienced.
That is awesome. And I try to tell people all the time, I mean, not only are the games are free to attend, but it's also really fast. So especially for people that live in town, I always encourage them to just stop by on game days because you're done in like an hour tops pretty much. So it doesn't take up too much of the day.
Yeah, usually the volleyball starts at 7, the men's volleyball. So we usually have game days on the same day as them. So you can just stop by water polo. It's free anyways. Come at 6. We start at 6 p.m. and then head over to the volleyball afterwards, make a day of it.
See, perfect. Either volleyball or even now that it's baseball season and baseball starts at like 6:35. So you can just, be a little late for baseball. It's perfect.
Kind of watch both.
We're chatting with Jordan Wedderburn of the Women's Water Polo team. Now, do you have any, I guess some athletes, I guess like myself are, can be like superstitious, right? When it comes to getting ready on game day and whatnot. Are you kind of the same type of athlete where you have to do like certain things a certain way on game days, or just take us through what your normal game day routine looks like?
I definitely have like things that I would prefer to do, but I guess if it doesn't happen, it's not like a train smash, if that makes sense. So it's not like superstitious per se. But I always do like the same kind of warm up before we get in, and then my first lap in the pool is always the same. It's like I don't know why, it's just been the same since high school. I do like butterfly, then fast, and then easy through. And then I always have beer zip up my suit. That's it. Like nothing too crazy, but it always has to be beer zipping up my suit.
That's interesting. I love it. And yeah, like you said, it's nothing too crazy if it doesn't happen, but
Yeah,
everyone has
exactly.
like their certain preference. And actually in high school, one of my best friends was a water polo player and she played for the University of Hawaii too, but she used to always tell me that like it's crazy the things that you do not see in water
Oh, yeah.
polo. So, I mean, let's just explain to some of the listeners like how physical that sport truly is and what you guys have to battle through like underneath the surface of the water.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys, like, as spectators, are only seeing like 10% of us, like you see our heads, maybe our shoulders. If someone comes up for a shot, you see a lot more, but like, you see like 10% of what goes on because obviously everything's happening underwater. Like, there's a lot of grabbing, holding, kicking, I guess you could say. Like, it obviously depends who you play. Like, if you're playing a team that's really heavy and really physical, then there's a lot of grabbing and pulling of suits going on underneath and like ducking under, couple elbows that you may miss. But yeah, no, it's definitely not for the faint of heart, water polo.
On top of that, you can't even like rest while you're in the water. Like you're not supposed to touch the ground. You can't hold on to the sides. You just have to keep swimming and treading water like the entire time. That's the part I'm like, it just makes me tired just thinking about it.
I guess it's good because we can sub. So if you're really dying, then you just switch out.
All right, couple more questions for you, Jordan. Just what can you tell us about playing for Coach Mo? And of course, this is going to be our last season and James Robinson takes over. So what can you tell us about Coach Mo? And then also looking ahead to James being your guys' new head coach next season.
I really think that Mo and James complement each other as coaches very well. I think that since James came on board, like there's been so much development in the program, and everyone I think has really enjoyed his input and additions to what he's brought. I can say for myself, coming to Hawaii and playing under Mo and under James, I've learned more in the last two and a bit years than I have my entire life playing water polo. Like they just know the game so well. They really have taught me a lot, like basics, fundamentals, reading the game, everything. Like I can't say enough about them. Like they have been so awesome in my development in my career. They definitely are very competitive people. They like to win. But I guess to be a good coach, you have to be. But yeah, definitely sad to see Mo go, but happy that she's moving on to the next chapter of her life. And I'm very happy that James is going to be the coach next year. Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes.
Looking forward to the continued success that is expected for this water polo program. All right, last question for you, easy one. What do you have to say to all of our fans listening?
Oh, thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully you guys will pull through to a couple of our home games. And hopefully you enjoyed listening to me speak about myself. Yeah, go Bows.
Gobos, Jordan Wedderburn from the University of Hawaii women's water polo team on this Manawahine Wednesday. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people and all the gorgeousest of all the beautiful people. Works. Look at your face listening to us right now. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network or on demand at hawaiisportsradio.com or wherever you get your podcast. And that's why you are the most beautifulest of all the beautiful people. All right. Once again, thank you to UH women's water polo player Jordan Wedderburn for joining us on this Manawahine Wednesday. And before we'll probably close out the show with more Major League Baseball talk, but to stick on the theme of Manawahine Wednesday, news coming out earlier this morning that Ice Cube, yes, the rapper and rapper turned actor turned owner of the Big Three Basketball League, made a huge offer to Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark, $5 million to join, and she could still play in the WNBA. And not only is it $5 million, like if people aren't familiar, $5 million to play 8 regular season games and possibly 2 playoff games, and that's it. 10 games. $5 million guaranteed is what Ice Cube had to offer Caitlin Clark. And the reason why I'm sticking with the topic of Manawahine Wednesday, because got to give a shout out to Ice Cube. He posted on his Twitter earlier today after the news was announced saying, quote, "We intended the offer to remain private while Caitlin Clark plays for the championship, but I won't deny that's what's now already out there. Big Three made a historic offer to Caitlin Clark. Why wouldn't we? Question mark. Caitlin is a generational athlete who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three. The skeptics laughed when we made Nancy Lieberman the first female coach of a men's pro team, and she won the championship in her first year. Then Lisa Leslie won it all in year 2. With our offer, Caitlin Clark can make history and break down even more barriers for women athletes. America's women athletes should not be forced to spend their off seasons playing in often dismal and dubious foreign countries just to make ends meet. And they should have more than just one professional option in the U.S. at a time when American sports leagues are being infiltrated by, what is this, autocratic anti-women regimes such as Qatar. Our path-breaking offer to Caitlin Clark demonstrates that Big Three now offers another choice for athletes, specifically female athletes." I mean, shout out Ice Cube, man. Like, kudos to him that, and hey, he's not doing this obviously as just a favor and a good deed. It's, he's obviously going to get, I would watch the Big Three for the first time. If Caitlin Clark were to sign and to play, I would watch it. I have not watched the Big Three at all ever. So, but it's such a win-win, and like, kudos to him to even take this chance, because you know you're still going to get the haters like, oh, what are you going to have? And like he said, people gawked at the fact that he gave Nancy Lieberman that opportunity and Lisa Leslie, and there they are. It's like, they can coach. It's basketball is the same. It's the same rules, like universal rules, really, and it's just a matter of being able to motivate players and call plays, manage timeouts. So, shout out to Ice Cube on this Manawahine Wednesday and going out there, $5 million, recognizing the talent that Caitlin Clark is, but also doubling down that, like, hey, you can have another option to make more money without having to go to overseas, which is what we saw with, oh no, it's escaping me. What's her name?
I mean, every WNBA player, but Brittany Griner is probably the one you're referring to.
All that debacle stuff happened, but what a...
Sorry.
Where's that story, by the way?
I'm waiting on this story. What the heck? But no, I mean, I'm really excited about this for a couple of reasons. One, I'm a big believer that competition breeds success. Cream rises to the top, whatever, you know, cliche you want to toss out there, where this is a good thing. $5 million for 10 games seems ridiculous in general, but it's also very cool to think about. The top paid players in the W are making right around 300K-ish, give or take, a lot of times. Is
less.
That,
so I had just looked it
I was
up.
Gonna
and
say,
so the highest paid player in the WNBA last year was Erica Wheeler, who made $242,000.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing where we see this could start and spark a change in the pay scale, and it could start and spark a change where you see the media. I mean, I know people might get, it might be nauseous at the mention of media rights after what happened with the Pac-12 and all the NCAA and whatnot, but this is a good way to be like, hey, you know, there's people who will be interested in women's basketball. There are people who will pay for women's basketball. It's time that we finally invest in the W, and this is a great way to go about it. 5 million, 10 games, and she still gets to play in the WNBA. I believe, if I was reading correctly, there are only about two dates that would overlap in total between the big three and the actual WNBA season. I think it's an awesome opportunity. And also, I'm going to be real, you can't turn that down. $5 million yeah.
I think
for 10 games?
The only situation, as I'm reading here, is that because the NBA operates the WNBA, there could be something in WNBA contracts that would prevent that from happening, because apparently the NBA and the big three have bad blood because the U.S. Department of Justice launched an antitrust investigation last year into allegations the NBA is making moves to crush big three's success, which is very, very much believable. So that's the only thing. But imagine if that were the case, how much backlash, like if there's only two dates that overlap, then they're like the NBA should allow WNBA players, unless you want to share NBA some of the money, which they've clearly kept it separate, which is fine.
I get it.
But like, if you're going to prevent WNBA athletes from getting opportunities within the US to pay them more money in a separate league that at this point isn't even a true competitor, the NBA, like, they're always going to be the biggest basketball brand in the world. So like, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about monopolies and trusts and antitrusts and all that stuff, I mean, the NBA, the MLB, NFL.
Well, we saw the UFC have to settle antitrust lawsuits like $300-something million with fighters because of that type of situation, and locking these fighters in to prevent them from seeking other opportunities while they're still under contract.
And I understand, while you have a contract, you have to, you know, follow through on that contract.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that. But also at the same time, I mean, 240K, 5 million. It's simple math.
Well, Caitlin, though, would only make like 74,000 or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Rookie
in her,
pay scale is nothing.
Yeah.
And that's that way in every single sport, comparatively speaking, to the highest paid players in the league, as it should be.
I
believe that as well.
Yeah.
Going back to the whole merit, you have to prove it at each level. It's a big reason why I have plenty of thoughts about NIL and the way that the college world is working right now. But in general, this is a really cool opportunity to be presented out there. And at the very least, it puts pressure on the W, it puts pressure on the NBA, it puts pressure on these other leagues to be like, all right, let's step it up, because somebody else out there is willing to pay for top talent.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else here in the United States, which I think is a big part of what Ice Cube is saying.
Yeah, so hopefully NBA just step aside again, because clearly if she was completely choosing to play Big Three over the WNBA, then I can understand from the NBA's business standpoint, for the growth of the WNBA, they would have a problem. But if they don't overlap or only a couple of games, then you're still going to get Caitlin Clark in all her glitz and glamour and her skills for the season, including potentially making a run at the playoffs for the WNBA. So as long as she's available, then why would you keep her from playing in a league where she can make $5 million? Like, that would just be disgusting.
It also is a great way for you to lose that antitrust case almost immediately, is if you're like, no, you can't play in this. Bye. You just lost. So, I mean, in general, very savvy business move from Ice Cube. And in general, I think we can see some positive results coming from this.
Yeah, but shout out Ice Cube making this happen, because giving other opportunities, and then maybe you'll see other big current superstars in the WNBA. Like, maybe we'll get a contest between Sabrina and Caitlin, some kind of fun little competition that goes down. I mean, I'd watch it. So it was kind of like a rookie veteran. Maybe you'll have like Caitlin, Sabrina, and who's been in, like, Stewie, like some kind of contest with like all the different ranges that will happen.
Have that's Chelsea big Gray, mm-hmm. toss in. Like, there are
and then
so
you
many
have someone
players.
Like Sue Bird coming out of retirement for some type of skills competition or something. Like, that'd be fun.
There are fun ways to go about this.
Yeah.
People want to watch WNBA basketball. People want to support women playing basketball. People want to continue to support sports leagues. Just let them happen.
Ooh, $5 million, 10 games. Sign me up, coach.
Yeah, I will
Ice
do it
Cube.
For half. I'll pay all 10 yes. for 2.5.
Do you want to sponsor our media league that we're trying to start?
Yeah,
hey.
Literally.
If you guys are listening and you want to sponsor a media league, then hit
us
up.
Let us know.
808-888-KG1, 808-888-5481. That would be hilarious. I'm only encouraging it because I 100% believe that our team could win. So
Would win. I will say that. Would. This is a challenge to any other media member out there. I'll check up 1v1 with you.
I love our fellow media members, and I don't talk a lot of smack when it comes to actual sports media stuff because they are very good and amazing at the jobs that they do. But if we're talking basketball league here, like,
I'll take us.
You just got to give me a week, get the legs going underneath me and the lungs moving a little bit, and
Once again, open offer, 1v1.
This is a moment that we should have had on camera. Dang it.
It really should have. I'd point right at the camera, open offer, 1v1, anyone
has
in
to
the
be
Hawaii
basketball,
sports
though.
Media.
No softball league or anything. It has to be basketball.
I'll take on some baseball and stuff. That'll take me two weeks. I got to work up the shoulder. But
I cannot. Yeah. Anyways, we'll be right back. Close it out with baseball or MLB by the numbers next on Wake Up in the Dead.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Has Morgan ever bought you flowers?
She has.
Do you like getting flowers?
I do. I think she was the one who brought it up. She's like, I saw a TikTok that said most men don't get their first flowers until their funerals. And I was like, yes, that is very, very true. So she actually has bought me flowers before. I was very appreciative of that.
Oh, I love it. I saw the same. Well, I guess it's not. I'm not on TikTok. So I saw it on Instagram. But yeah, I was like, that's actually a good point. Maybe I'll try it too. Hopefully he's not listening, so that way it will be a surprise. If he's listening right now, that he'll be like, oh, we're just talking about this on the show. Anywho, it is the eve of the official opening day for Major League Baseball. A lot of games get underway, as we mentioned before. There were a couple of games last week in Korea that were technically counted in the regular season, but here in the United States, opening day gets underway tomorrow, including for the Seattle Mariners. Our new team here at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, coverage begins at 3 o'clock p.m. tomorrow afternoon with their series against the Boston Red Sox tomorrow through the weekend, that is Sunday. Also coming up tomorrow, be sure you guys tune in first thing at 8 as I will have a very extensive conversation with the legendary former voice of Rainbow Baseball on the radio and my previous employer, Don Robbs. We'll take a trip down memory lane, how he even got into baseball. He used to play baseball, but just how he found himself in this career and being the voice of UH Baseball, because he's not originally from here. He came to Hawaii by way of Minnesota, and then, you know, serving in the military, then Japan and everything, and then finally coming out here and calling games for the University of Hawaii. And some fun facts about certain individuals that are in the media that he got some career start in and whatnot. So very, very fun conversation that you will hear tomorrow morning with Don Robbs, because it will lead into the big game tomorrow night with the UH baseball team taking on nationally ranked UC Irvine. But prior to that, around 6:15, so game time is 6:35, around 6:15, there will be a special ceremony because it was announced yesterday that they are dedicating the Les Murakami Stadium press box to two voices who were synonymous with Hawaii baseball for decades. Legendary broadcaster, as we just mentioned, Don Robbs, and then the late and great Jim Leahy. So it will be the Robbs Leahy press box, and they'll have the ceremony tomorrow. So we will talk to Don tomorrow to add to the festivities of opening day for Major League Baseball getting underway. And just to wrap up the show, because, you know, we're kind of a little bit of a numbers nerd in this studio. The irony is I really did not like math. But when it comes to sports and numbers or money and numbers, I find it very fascinating for some reason. Although it was really weird because I used to like math in elementary. I was even on the math team. And then somewhere.
Nerd.
Yeah, such okay. a nerd. And then somewhere in between like middle school, high school, I just did not like math anymore. But nonetheless, I like math when it comes to sports. So these are the article by Jason Stark on The Athletic. Just some major numbers in Major League Baseball. This was a funny one because he talks about the magic number is number 64. And says, would you believe there were 64 pitchers who threw a pitch at least 100 miles an hour last season? And basically two teams had five pitchers who hit 100 miles per hour last year. And you would think, wow, that must be a very successful team if they had five pitchers that hit 100 miles an hour, because that would basically, the way the numbers average, you have a few pitchers that were on each team if you average it out. But the five pitchers on the two teams, those two teams, the Oakland A's and the Los Angeles Angels, remind me how much success did they have last year?
Yeah, not exactly. It's not exactly what you want. We'll say that.
It's clearly not a exact science when it comes to having pitchers that can throw really, really fast when it comes to baseball. Well, you also have to be fast and you have to be accurate. That's another thing, too. So
yep.
maybe they were just like all over the place. And that's why only three teams employed no pitchers who threw 100. The Mets, Red Sox, and the Rockies.
Two teams I hate and a team that I like. Take your guess who.
Going on to the number 19. Once there was a time when only relief pitchers, plus Nolan Ryan, threw 100. So much for those days. Last year, 19 starting pitchers were recorded by StatCast launching fastballs at 100 miles per hour or swifter. And, hey, but again, not an exact science.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. Magic number, $973 million. Oh, is that like the total salaries of maybe like starters? Nope. According to Spotrac, which has created the injured list tracker, $973.4 million is how much money teams paid players not to play baseball last season because they were on the injured list. So we talk about dead cap space in, you know, NFL. It's nowhere near the $973.4 million that Major League Baseball teams have to play their injured players. Because remember, all money is guaranteed in Major League Baseball.
Guarantee. Yeah. Also, no salary cap in baseball, though.
Exactly.
Just a luxury tax.
Oh, my gosh. So crazy. The other thing is that it has gone higher than that number. The injured list jackpot did cross the $1 billion threshold once in 2019 at $1.07 billion.
That's crazy.
Woo! $594.4 million of that $973 million went to pitchers that did not start. So clearly, you know where all the money goes. But opening day tomorrow, we have a packed show. Be sure you tune in tomorrow morning. But for now, we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.